so that all his holy people will hear how wonderful he is. May Israel be enthused with joy because of him, and may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their king. Break forth with dancing. Make music and sing God's praises with the rhythm of drums. For he enjoys his faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with his beauty, and he loves to give them the victory. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Revelation, revelation, ding, 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 ding. I'm surrounded. What are we surrounded by? His presence. Ooh. These warring weapons will bring vengeance on every opposing force and every resistant power, to bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Praise-filled warriors will endorse the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor he gives to all his godly lovers. So hallelujah, praise the Lord. This is how we fight our battles. This is how. That's right, singing. This is how we fight our battles. This is how. Yes. Ooh, I know we're not singers.
Yes, we are.
But that's okay. It doesn't matter, right? We're a joyful noise unto the Lord, so we can make a loud one. Okay, let's receive our tithes and offerings this morning. If you need an envelope, Carla will come around and give you one. Just keep your hands raised. If you want to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around and see Alan back there. This is how we fight our battles. Okay. Ooh, I wanted to speak about something, and I don't know what it is. Oh, I know. Glory, glory, glory. Yes. In Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, which is poverty, sickness, and death. For poverty, he has given us wealth. For sickness, he has given us health. For death, he has given us eternal life. That's 2 Corinthians 8:9 and John 10:10. And whatever the enemy has stolen from you, call it back. Sevenfold. Proverbs. Come on. This is how we fight our battles. Praise and worship him, even during our giving. Ooh, I'm going to have to put another song in there. Is today a holiday? I know. June 1st. It's sunny out. This is how we fight our battles. Glory and honor and praise we give unto you, O God. Thank you. You like her hair? Doesn't she look? She looks like the old Annette. We like the old Annette. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Why don't you go get it to him, and then we got him doing all kinds of jobs today. Thank you, Lord. Anybody get a word from the Lord this morning? Fill the church, prophesy. Oh, go to church. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Yes, 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 yes. Glory and honor and praise. We thank you for your goodness, Lord. We thank you for the financial increase that is coming. Lord, as we're shifting into this new season, we know that the doors are swinging open wide for everything we're supposed to enter into, Lord, our next season of prosperity, wealth, goodness, health, whatever you have for us, new positions, new places you want us to go to. Lord, whatever you are doing in us right now, Lord, we love it. And Lord, we can't wait for you to pour and blow this portal open over this church, Lord, and blow it all over Easton and the surrounding area. We're calling in all these people like Peter prayed, and 3,000 came into your kingdom. God, we love it. We can't wait to see it. Do it again, Lord. We know you could do it again. We want revival in, like that song, revival in, dream again, live again, catch the fire again. Yes, come on. You could do it again, Lord. Woo-hoo. Oh. Woo. Another prayer march? We will. Okay, we're going to, I think Alan's going to blow the shofar. He's going to release the angels. Shoo! Shalabakaya. Thank you. We thank you, Lord. Shoo! Give him a praise. Oh, Lord, we give you praise this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We don't go by what we see. We don't go by what not by sight at all. So, Lord, we thank you that the Spirit of God in us is causing us to pour out. And Lord, as we pour out, you're pouring in. And Lord, the closer you are to us, more things are going to happen. Lord, we thank you for the natural, but we want the supernatural on the natural in the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you for blessing your people today. We thank you, Lord, for increase. We thank you, Lord, for good health. We thank you, Lord, that we're all healed from the top of our heads to the very soles of our feet. We don't want nothing less. Because you paid the price. Every single stripe you took on your back, Lord, was for our healing. So, Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you. You paid for our poverty so we don't have to be poor. So, Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing in this time. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Woo. Wow. Announcements. Well, it's not Memorial Weekend. That was last week. Okay, everybody knows that our prayer is on Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock. Please join us if you can. And it's awesome time of prayer. We pray for everyone. If you have a prayer request, on the back table there's schedules, and on the bottom, if you need a prayer in agreement for anything, just text us and we'll certainly pray for you. And Isabel brought flyers about Prayer on Wheels, which is Believer's Procession, and they go around on Saturday, June 14th between 12 and 4, and all the details are on this flyer, so pick one up. It's on the back table, and join in the procession. And what they do, they go pray all around the streets. Glory. Maybe we need to do that here. Okay, we'll have to pray about that. Sunday, June 22nd, Ed Callens will be back with us at 10:30. Yahoo! And he said he's bringing Robin. And he even called me to ask me if it's okay. So that's a little closer. to believe in it or not. Okay. And then July 13th on a Sunday at 10:30, Don and Debbie will return and with live worship, preaching, and ministry. And they're very excited. So, and then we'll talk about December another time. I don't want to go there today. Hallelujah. Let's enjoy the weather, even though it's going to heat up. Boy, even the weather's shifting all over the place, right? Wow. Wow. Ooh, let's awake and rejoice in his presence. Guess what I'm talking about today? Yeah, but it's not the Dennis message. It's different. Okay, it's the Karen message from the Lord. Okay, and the name of my message today is Awake to the Awesome Presence of God. If we're just like God, we've been created in his image and his likeness, then our God is a person, right? Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for this message. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that our spirits are wide open to receive everything you have to say to us. Even if whatever I speak out of my mouth, even if it doesn't speak to someone, but you're speaking through it anyway. So, Lord, we thank you for change. We thank you for increase. We thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in this season right now. So, Lord, I thank you for this word. Bring it forth, Holy Spirit. So, like I said, if we are just like God, we've been created in his image and his likeness, like our God is a person. God is a person, right? He can be heard. He can be felt. He has emotions. He has thoughts and intentions just like we do. But of course, he has attributes that we don't have. He is perfectly holy. He's perfect love. He is perfect faith. He is all knowing. He is all health. He is all prosperity. He is righteousness, and he is all present. He's all present. He wants us to realize that he is present, and seeking the presence of God is nothing more than realizing that he is present. Here he is now. God with us, face to face. And the Hebrew term for presence is panem, which translated means face, implying a close and personal encounter with the Lord. God's presence and who God is the same. So when the Bible mentions God's presence, it is usually referring to a greater manifestation of God's presence. If we desire to seek God's presence and to be filled to overflowing with his presence, then we need to acknowledge that his presence is himself. And God's presence and God himself is the same. Sometimes we think of God's presence as a feeling, and we seek a feeling rather than we seek a person. Even though when he is present, we can feel him. We know he's there. He reveals himself. God's presence is himself, so if we desire to be filled with more of God's presence, then we need to just seek God. It's just that simple. James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. In the Passion, it says, draw closer and closer and he'll come closer and closer. God loves to be pursued. Women like to be pursued, but God likes to be pursued. Okay? Wow, you're looking at me with headlights. That is a promise from God. As we draw near to God in faith, his presence is going to come. And the more we do this, the more we will get to know him. Drawing near to God is through praise and worship. This whole thing is no accident. The TVs, the new way we worship right now, And even me staying home and listening to all these new praise and worship songs, I am blasted in the Holy Ghost. He's taking me places and doing things in me because I'm drawing closer to God. In Psalm 101, let me start all over. Psalm 100, 2-4, it says, serve the Lord with gladness, not sadness. Come before his presence with singing. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful and bless his name from your very being. Now I'm going to read Psalm 100, 1 through the end in the Passion, because I love the way it is. It's one of my favorite psalms that I read quite often on Sunday morning. She got it up there? Good. Okay. So if you don't have your Bibles, you could follow the screens. It says here, lift up a great shout of joy to the Lord. So that's the first thing we got to do. Lift up a shout. Go ahead and do it, even right now. I dare you. Yes. As you serve him, be glad and worship him. Sing your way into his presence with joy and realize what this really means. He's saying right here, listen to what it really means. Realize it. We have the privilege of worshiping the Lord our God, for he is our creator and we belong to him. We are the people of his pleasure. You can pass through his open gates with the password of praise. Come right into his presence with thanksgiving. Come bring your thank offering to him and affectionately bless his beautiful name. For the Lord is always good and ready to receive you. You see, he's already there when you enter into that praise and worship. He's so loving that it will amaze you. So kind that it will astound you. And he is famous for his faithfulness towards all. Everyone knows our God can be trusted, for he keeps his promises to every generation. You know that King David had a great revelation of ministering to the Lord with praise and worship through all the psalms that are written. We see how the Lord would manifest in his life and through his people. He had a revelation. In 2 Samuel 6:14, we don't have to go there. I'm just going to relay the story. And the story goes like this. King David danced before the Lord with all his might. The occasion was the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. It was a day of rejoicing as David and all of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of the trumpet. David had set aside his royal robes and was wearing a linen ephod. The ephod David wore was a garment usually reserved for priests and those ministering before the Lord. As David led the procession of the ark into the city, he humbly laid aside his royal garments and worship the Lord in ecstatic joy, it said, as a representative of God's kingdom of priests. The ephod David wore was made of fine linen and consisted of two pieces that covered both his back and his front. The two pieces were fastened together over his shoulder and was held at his waist by a belt. Some may have thought in reading this passage that he might have been almost naked, dancing in the streets, but it wasn't the case. Maybe half naked. We don't know. David's wife, Miguel, was horrified at her husband's public dance, but not because he was naked. The scripture says she watched him from the window when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She despised him in her heart. She was embarrassed because she felt it was beneath his dignity as a king, and she made sarcastic rebukes to him. She accused him of going around half naked in full view of slave girls of his servants as a vulgar fellow. David didn't care. for her remarks and told her that it was the Lord he was dancing for, and he was celebrating before the Lord, and he was undignified, and he didn't care. He had a deep adoration for God, a great passion. And you know what? We should be the same way, to express our love and praise and worship to our God. Never to be ashamed. Always be in freedom, no matter who's watching. Now, let's turn to Acts 16:16. I'm going to start with that, guys, back there, because I have to do a little backstory. It's about Paul and Silas. This is really good, too. Acts 16:16. I don't know if you can get that up, but it... if I give you the backstory, then it sounds better when we find out what really happens. This is about when Paul and Silas saw the manifestation of God's presence in the jail, okay? So let me start in 16:16. It says, "One day as we were going to the house of prayer, we encountered a young slave girl who had an evil spirit of divination, the spirit of Python. She had earned great profits for her owners by being a fortune teller. She kept following us, shouting, 'These men are servants of the great high God, and they're telling us how to be saved.' Day after day, she continued to do this until Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the spirit indwelling in her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus, the anointed one, to come out of her now.' At that very moment, the spirit came out of her. And when her owners realized that her potential of making profit had vanished, they forcefully seized Paul and Silas and dragged them off to the city square to face authorities. When they appeared before the Roman soldiers and the magistrates, the slave owners leveled accusations against them, saying, 'These Jews are troublemakers. They're throwing our city into confusion. They're pushing their Jewish religion down our throats. It's wrong and unlawful for them to promote these Jewish ways.'" Wasn't even Jewish. "For we are Romans living in a Roman colony. A great crowd gathered, and all the people joined in to come against them. The Roman officials ordered that Paul and Silas be stripped of their garments and beaten with rods on their bare backs. After they were severely beaten, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them securely. So the jailer placed them in the innermost cell of the prison and had their feet bound and chained. Paul and Silas, undaunted, prayed in the middle of the night and sang songs of praise to God, while all the other prisoners listened to their worship. Suddenly, a great earthquake shook the foundations of the prison. All at once, every prison door flung open and the chains of all the prisoners came loose. Startled, the jailer awoke and saw every cell door standing open. Assuming that all the prisoners had escaped, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself when Paul shouted in darkness, 'Stop, don't hurt yourself, we're still here.' He thought he was going to get killed too. The jailer called for the light. Then he saw that they were all still in their cells. He rushed in and fell, trembling at their feet. Then he led Paul and Silas outside and asked, 'What must I do to be saved?' They answered, 'Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and all your family.'" You and all your family. You and all your family. Praise and worship. Then they prophesied the word of the Lord over him and all his family. Even though the hour was late, he washed their wounds. Then he and all his family were baptized. He took Paul and Silas into his home, sat them at his table, and fed them. The jailer and all his family were filled with joy in their newfound faith in God. At daybreak, the magistrate sent officers to the prison with orders to tell the jailer, "Let those two men go." The jailer informed Paul and Silas, "The magistrates have sent orders to release you, so you're free to go now." But Paul told the officers, "Look, they had us beaten in public without a fair trial, and we are Roman citizens. Do you think we're going to quietly walk away after they threw us in prison and violated all our rights? Absolutely not. You go back and tell the magistrates they need to come down here themselves and escort us out." And when the officers went back and reported what Paul and Silas had told them, the magistrates were frightened, especially upon hearing that they had beaten two Roman citizens without due process. So they went to the prison and apologized to Paul and Silas, begging them repeatedly, saying, "Please leave our city. Like, get out of here." So Paul and Silas left the prison and went back to Lydia's house, where they met with the believers and comforted and encouraged them before departing. So in the middle of the night, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them, and then suddenly the great earthquake came, and the foundations of the prison's doors were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were loosed. They were set free. Anyone in here need to be set free? Praise and worship. The story unfolds about a jailer and his family. They all got saved. And fearfulness and favor from the magistrates brought freedom to set Paul and Silas free to go and please get out of my town. I like that part. Like, get out of here. I don't want to see you anymore. But they'll be back. I believe if we would remember to pray and praise instead of panicking, turn right there. Don't even go there. Just go right into the praise and worship. God comes on the scene. Instead of complaining like in the Old Testament, the Israelites, praise and worship him for all the things that he got you through before. And the things will change. When we are sick and tired, worn out and weak, give him your praise and your worship with all of your heart. And his presence will come to you and fill your need. Remember what his presence is. It's who he is. So whatever you have need of, he's got it for you. Praise and worship ministers to God's heart, and it draws him to you. He hears you. He pays attention. His ear is open because his presence is everywhere. And when he hears that, instead of you complaining and panicking, listen, I'm talking to me too, and, you know, and things are going on, you just stop and say, "Lord, I give you all the praise. I give you all the worship. I don't know what's going on, Lord, but you do. And I thank you, Lord, for my deliverance. I thank you, Lord, for healing me. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to get me to the other side. Lord, I don't know, but you're going to open up the doors, and the breakthrough is going to come." He reacts to our hearts. We can't just put it on either, because he knows our hearts. He knows what's pure. Constantly throughout our day, talk to God. Meditate on the things of God all day long, even if you're at work. Just silently, you could do it inside yourself. That is what the Bible calls abiding in him, walking in the Spirit, or dwelling in the secret place. And if you can spend a long time with God, that would be more rewarding. But that's not what this message is about, even though it's a good point. And I know we've heard that point so many times. It's true. Now let's look at Romans 8, 5 through 10. This is just a practical message of everyday things. because God's presence surrounds us. You draw him in, draw him in, draw him in. He's here right now. It says here, those who are motivated by the flesh only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction. I'm going to say that again. The mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan and refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by this flesh. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not, wait, that doesn't sound right. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of him. Now Christ lives his life in you. Ooh. We can all walk in the flesh. It's very easy to walk in the flesh. But we have to remain walking in his Spirit. And that's nothing more than settling our minds on the things of the Spirit. Keeping our minds heavenly on heavenly things rather than earthly things. Whatever you got to do to shut that thing off, shut it off. Everybody has their own fleshly thing that needs to be shut off, okay? As we praise and worship our God, it keeps our minds in the right place and keeps our minds at rest and at peace. We're in a place of peace with God. You see, he'll bring us. As soon as we enter into that realm of praise and worship, our mind starts to dwell on God. As we dwell on God, we start thinking about the goodness of God, and then we stop thinking about all those fleshly things, and then we start thinking about all the good stuff and all the things he's going to do and he said he's going to do and his promises, and then you'll start speaking, the word of God starts coming out of your mouth, and then things just start to change. The atmosphere changes. Your life starts to change because that energy is focusing now on the positive, not the negative. It's going into the right direction, see? So keeping our minds at rest and peace, and it will manifest. God will manifest himself, and you will be just, you'll have such a sense of his presence, and sometimes his presence is heavy and weighty. And if it's not, if it isn't there, that doesn't mean he's not there, okay? He's still there. In Hebrews 13, 5 through 6, it says, it reminds us over and over that God is with us. He never leaves us. He reminds us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we house the Holy Spirit. I'm going to read that scripture. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. He's everywhere. Don't be obsessed with money, but live content with what you have. For you always have God's presence. For hasn't he promised you, I will never leave you alone? Never. And I will not loosen my grip on your life. So we can say with great confidence, I know the Lord is for me. And I will never be afraid of what people may do to me. Hallelujah. So when he says, don't be obsessed with money, I often think of, it's like an earthly term, you know, term fleshly things that we dwell on. Just because we don't see him in the flesh, he's still there. He never goes away from us. He knows everything about us, minute to minute, second by second. He knows what's going on in our lives. So if we become more aware that he's there, I believe that we can speak to him all the time, praise and thank him for being there, and he will listen to us and he will respond. So whenever we start to doubt, know he is right there waiting for us to acknowledge him. Remember, we are the pursuer. In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Rely on him to guide you. Become intimate with him. That's how the Passion says it. Meaning talk to him. He's right there, face to face. And he will lead us down the right paths and the right ways. Jesus said that God is one with us. It says, and it was prophesied in Isaiah 7:14 and Matthew 1:23, Emmanuel has come. That's a Christmas story. Meaning God with us. That's what was prophesied. God's presence fills the heavens, and God is filling the earth right now, touching lives with his presence. Psalm 16:11 says, in God's presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. So we could say that the joy of his presence gives us the strength. In Acts 3:20, 21 says that a time of refreshing will stream from the Lord's presence as people repent and turn back to God. So, Lord, we pray right now. This is the end. So, Lord, we pray right now. We come together that we would become more aware of your presence. And we pray, Lord, that the times of refreshing will stream from your presence as people repent and turn back to God. Hallelujah. Lord, we love your presence. We want to be more aware of your presence in our everyday life, Lord. As we leave here, Lord, let us not forget that you are always there. You're always there to help. You're always there. You're just always there. And we forget that you're there because we can't see you. So, Lord, I thank you for praise and worship, Lord. I thank you as we praise and worship you and give you all our thanksgiving from our hearts, Lord, that you are drawing closer and closer to us. And, Lord, that you're responding and things will quickly change, quickly, just like Paul and Silas were quickly delivered from the chains. And all the chains were broken, and your whole house, I keep hearing that, your whole house will be saved. Your whole family will be saved. As we praise and worship him, we don't know the stuff that's going to happen. So, Lord, we thank you for all the miracles and the signs and the wonders that you're preparing for those who believe even right now. Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for deliverance. Lord, I'm praying for Rita's son right now. I just felt like I needed to pray for David. Lord, I lift up David to you, and I break those chains that have bound him right now. We cut them off right now in the name of Jesus, and we thank you and praise you, Lord, that he is delivered, that wherever he is right now, Lord, you're setting him free. You're delivering him from the bondage of everything that he's been through. And Lord, you're healing his mind, his will, and his emotions. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this miracle right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we just pray for all our family and friends that have addictions, Lord. Set them free, Lord. Visit them even right now as we're praying together as one. Lord, that your presence will enter that room and set those people free from their addictions in the name of Jesus. Break those chains that held these people back, Lord. Break them off in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you and praise you for Jesus. We thank you that we're redeemed from the poverty, sickness, and death. We thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for being our God, our provider, our deliverer, our healer. Lord, you are everything to us, and we love you. We love you, we love you, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, no matter what we go through, you're right there. Right there. If you can count every hair on our head, then you must be right there and know how many we got. So, Lord, we thank you right now that you're always right there. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this message, Lord. We thank you, Lord, and we praise your name. Hallelujah. Have a great, awesome week. In Jesus' name.